In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, Paul writes to Timothy, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct, in love and spirit, in faith and purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Now this passage teaches us several important things. First, it teaches us that God expects young people to be examples. He says to Timothy, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example." But it also teaches us that God expects young people to have an active part in the church. The reason I say that is because in verse 13 he says, "Till I come, give attention to reading." And the word reading there means public reading of Scripture. Reading the Bible in the church. So when we talk about young people in the church, we are talking about something God clearly wants and clearly expects. And those who would deny young people their place in the church subvert the will of God. Now, we need to notice that the work these young people are doing in this passage is not centered around hot dogs and bowling. It's centered around the Word of God. And that's something that is going to be important in our study tonight. Young people do have a place within the scope of what's revealed in the Scripture. But, having said that, it remains clear that young people are wanted by God to be a part of His church. We talked yesterday about the fact that young people need Jesus. And I'd like to go a step further tonight. When young people have the relationship that they need with Jesus, the question comes up of where we're going to go to church. And tonight we're going to address young people in what is called church shopping. That search to find a local church to be a part of. Many people are shopping for a church today. I hope you know I use that term accommodatively. They're looking for the best place to go. And as we go through that process, I believe that we all, in a sense, are shopping. We're all looking. What is the right church? What church should I belong to? And what I want to do tonight is to give you some biblical guidelines for how we choose the church we're going to belong to. So, I want you to know especially that young people are particularly involved in that process. Many young people are the ones looking for a church. Perhaps they have a faith in Jesus that their parents do not. But also, most adults, as they are choosing a church, one of the main criteria they use is, what do my kids want? Will this make my children happy? And so young people play a vital role in this process. And I wanted to give some pointers from the Scripture as to what should be done in church shopping, so to speak. The first thing I want to say, just to get some preliminary things said, is that it is important to belong to a local church. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, if you would. Hebrews chapter 10, and I'll show you very quickly that this is something God expects. I want you to know I'm not preaching this sermon because it's interesting to me or because it's something I think is important. God says here, Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 24, God says this is something He wants. Hebrews 10, 24, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." So this is not just a good idea or a suggestion. God says, do not forsake assembling yourselves together. You need to be with other Christians. You need to be there with them so that you can help them and they can help you. So if we are interested in following Jesus, we can't just ignore the command of God. God says, this is what you must be doing. So to violate that is to sin. God wants us to belong to a local church. Now, some have supposed that they could worship God without being a part of a church. And they say things about, quote-unquote, organized religion, that they don't want to be a part of organized religion. Or I've had people tell me that they don't want to be a part of any church because maybe something bad happened to them in a church building. Now, I'm sorry that that's true, and I'm sorry that some have had bad experience in churches. And perhaps it would be good if it really were true that we could just worship God however we want, wherever we are. But God tells us He wants us not to forsake assembling of ourselves together. He wants us to be in a local church. And may I suggest to you that God knows better what He wants than we do. And that God knows better what we need than we do. This is a command. God wants us to belong to a local church. But I need to come in right behind that and say, there are some local churches we should avoid. There are some local churches we don't want to be a part of for various reasons. Let's look in Revelation chapter 2, if you would. Revelation 2. Look at a couple of churches here. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4, Jesus is writing this letter, dictating this letter to the church at Ephesus. Listen to what He says, Revelation 2 and 4. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Now, here is a church that Jesus says, you need to change some things, or else I'm going to take your lampstand out of its place. That's an image that says, you're not going to be my church anymore. You're not going to belong to me. I'm going to remove my fellowship from you. You're not going to be my church. Now, do you want to belong to a church that's not Jesus' church? Do we really want to be a part of a group that is not in fellowship with Jesus? We want to be in fellowship with Jesus. So this is a church we would want to avoid. Not saying we should avoid the church at Ephesus. I'm saying this statement means there are some churches we don't want to be a part of. Look down in verse 14 of Revelation 2. Here is another church, and He says to them, but I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. So some people in this church were teaching false things, and it led to immorality, sexual immorality and idolatry. And Jesus says, I'm going to come fight against you. We don't want to be a part of a church that is fighting against Jesus. If we belong to Jesus, if we have a relationship with Jesus, we want to be a part of a church that serves and follows Jesus, not one that fights Him. So that's simply to prove the fact that there are some local churches we should avoid. Now, I'm not saying that everybody in the church we're going to be a member of, everything has to be absolutely perfect. That church does not exist. And yet, what if the church we're looking at doesn't have people in it who are real Christians? Or what if the church we're looking at doesn't know or teach or follow the Bible at all? Wouldn't that be a church we might say, I don't really want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of a church that belongs to the Lord and follows His will. So I want to talk for the majority of our time tonight about how we're going to choose which church we avoid and which church we're going to belong to. We all make this choice if we belong to any church at all. We all make this choice based on certain reasons. And while we might not want to admit it, sometimes those reasons are less than good. So I want to talk to you, especially to those who are younger, about the wrong reasons that might go into us choosing a church. The wrong reasons in church shopping. The first I'd like to talk about is entertainment. And this is especially pertinent as we talk to young people. Because most churches make great efforts to cater to young people along the lines of entertainment. There will scarcely be a week or even a weekend when some youth event is not planned. Meals are prepared, buses are bought, young people are entertained. And so young people consistently choose the churches that are the more entertaining churches. And I've had parents ask me, what do you offer my children? And I'm suggesting to you tonight, this is the wrong reason to choose a church. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that it's wrong to eat or be with other young people. And I'm not saying it's wrong to be involved in wholesome entertainment. What I'm saying is these are the wrong reasons to choose a church. They might be involved in really good entertainment, but are they involved in really good spirituality? Our bellies might be filled, but is our soul satisfied? Entertainment is a poor reason to choose a church. Let's go to John chapter 6. Gospel of John chapter 6. We read part of this text last night when we talked about Jesus being the bread of life, but we need to set our context for what we're going to read tonight in John chapter 6. Jesus has fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And as he did that, the people should have seen that Jesus had power that proved he was from God. But instead, they understood only that they had gotten fed. They had gotten a free meal. And so the people begin to follow Jesus and try to find him so that they can get more free meals. Here's a man who can make me bread. He won't charge me for it. Maybe I can get another handout. And Jesus doesn't really take kindly to that kind of seeking. Look in John 6 and verse 26. John 6, 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." You hear that? You're seeking me, not for the good reason. You're seeking me because you got something to eat. Now listen to what he says in verse 27. "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on it." He says, don't labor for the food that perishes. Don't let that be your focus and all you're seeking. Don't let that be what drives your spiritual decisions. You need to labor or work for or seek the food that endures to everlasting life. What's really valuable is, are you going to come to someone who can teach you the Word of God? He wants these people to seek him because he is the bread of life, not because he gives them physical food. And you know what? Jesus didn't make any food for these people. He didn't say, "Well, okay, I know you sought me for the wrong reason, so here's some food. Just hang on a minute, let me teach you some more." In fact, many of these same people are the ones who are going to walk away at the end of John chapter 6. They came for the wrong reason. And when we come to a church to be entertained, we come for the wrong reason. When the apostles preached the gospel, it was never about entertainment. When the New Testament church tried to attract people to come hear the gospel, they never used entertainment. And I don't mean they rarely did it. They never did. You won't see it anywhere in the New Testament that this was a part of the program of a New Testament church. The New Testament church preached the simple gospel, and people listened to that gospel and they obeyed it. Entertaining or not, exciting or not, they heard the word and they either accepted it or rejected it. So what makes us think that today entertainment is going to be okay, or that entertainment is going to work, when that's not what God did in the first century? The apostles used no tricks, no bribes. They simply taught the word. And I want to say what I believe is really behind this whole mentality of entertainment. And I don't believe that most people are willing to admit it freely, but I'm going to say it. People really believe that the Bible is too boring to attract anyone. What they really believe is, if you just sit down and you preach the gospel, people aren't going to come. People really believe that the Bible, it doesn't relate to people today. You need to attract them in other ways. And I don't believe that for a minute. I believe that the Bible is relevant, that the Bible is exciting, and if we study the Bible, we're going to learn and grow. And I believe that people are going to be attracted if we do teach the Bible. Entertainment might get people in the door, but it doesn't constitute a church that we want to be a part of. We might be entertained and still be wrong. So entertainment becomes a poor choice or a poor reason for choosing a church. So as you're looking at, should I go to this church or that church, don't look for the most entertaining church, because it could be entertaining and still be wrong. How about another reason? The popularity of a church sometimes factors into a young person's decision. Where's the place that everybody else is going? I want to be where the crowd is. Well, Jesus has some things to say about the idea of popularity, and we need to notice them because they constitute a very important teaching we need to observe and we need to follow. Look in Matthew chapter 7 with me. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, Jesus is teaching here the Sermon on the Mount. He says, Matthew 7:13, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Jesus says there is a broad, wide way, and there are a lot of people on it, but it's going to destruction. And by contrast, there is a narrow, difficult way, and there are just a few people on it, but it's the road to life. Now, it's amazing to me that we can talk about the straight and narrow, and we can talk about the broad way, and yet people still don't get what Jesus is saying. What He's saying is, if we're trying to do what's right, there's not going to be a lot of people around us doing it too. And at the very least, this passage means that what is popular is not necessarily right. And that what is popular can very well and might likely be what's wrong. This passage leads me to be a little suspicious of what's popular. Because it might just be I'm seeing the broad way at work and all those people following it to destruction. I ask you, you want to be a part of a church that's headed for destruction? Well, that might be where you end up if your only criteria is it popular? Are other people going to this church? Young people a lot of times want to go to church with their friends or where there are a lot of other young people. And some have even made the choice of where they were going to go to church, and they have chosen a church that they knew was teaching wrong things just because there were more young people there. Whether a church is popular or not is a horrible reason to choose it. But you know, more than that, there are some people who feel that they just can't worship God acceptably if there are fewer than, say, 150 people worshiping with them. If I'm at a church that's just a little bit too small for me, I've just got to go somewhere else. This is not going to cut the mustard. And so they'll keep chopping and looking and seeking, where is a church that has enough people, maybe in my demographic, maybe the kind of people I like, and they keep looking and looking and looking. Just because popularity is what drives them. Do you know that the Scripture speaks of many different congregations? The church at Jerusalem and Antioch and Corinth and Ephesus and Troas and Philippi, all across the world it speaks of congregations. Yet outside the Jerusalem church, it doesn't tell us a single number how many Christians were in those churches. Could have been 5 Christians. Could have been 5,000 Christians. We don't know. You know why we don't know? Because it doesn't matter. What matters is those people were serving God or they were not. That's what matters. God doesn't care how many people there are if they're doing His will. The fact that a church is popular doesn't make it wrong, but it also doesn't make it right. You know what that means? It means it's a bad reason to choose a church. The third thing, and I'll just say this briefly, is how many guys or girls are in the church. It hasn't been too long since I was a teenager, and I know a little bit about how teenagers think. Sometimes teenagers are attracted to a church because they're attracted to the people in the church. If there are a lot of members of the opposite sex their age, especially if they're attractive, well, that's the place to go. Church is suddenly much more exciting, and so they'll come much more frequently. I don't think I need to address that in a lot of detail. That's a bad reason to choose a church. It happens, though, alarmingly often. It seems to me that We might get closer to some person of the opposite sex, but we're not any closer to God. So to choose a church based on who's going there or who's not is another bad reason. So, putting that aside, let's talk about the right reason. This is really what I want us to focus on, the really important part of what we're talking about tonight. Look down here in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Jesus says not everybody's going to get into the kingdom. And it's not a matter of thinking you're going to get into the kingdom or appearing that you're righteous. That's not going to get it done. Those people he talks about in verse 22, they appeared to be doing what was right and they thought they were right, but they were wrong. So we might think we're right and we might appear to be right and still be wrong. How do we know what's right? Look in verse 21 again. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father." What we want to find is a church where we can do the will of the Father. Not appear to do it, not think we're doing it, but where we can actually do what God says. We need to be seeking a place where there are other people who want to do what God says. Not to appear to be doing it, not to fool themselves and convince others around them, but to really do what we read in this book, the will of the Father. Go to Matthew 16 with me. Matthew chapter 16. Establish a foundation for some proper reasons for choosing a church. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Jesus promised, "I will build my church." And he did. He built his church. Now the church is not a building. It is a group of people who are focused on doing the will of the Father. They have been bought by the blood of the Son of God. And they now belong to him. And so when those Christians meet in a certain place, they form a congregation or a local church. And what we want to do is find, where are other people who are part of Jesus' church? How can I meet with them and worship with them and do God's will with them? That's what we should be looking for when we're looking for a church. You see, this church, Jesus says, is my church. It belongs to him. It follows him. It listens to him. It obeys him. It is subject to him. And everything this church does is going to be focused on Jesus. That's the kind of church we need to be looking for. Jesus also tells Peter in verse 19 here, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Peter, along with the other apostles, were going to tell people how to enter the kingdom, unlocking it like with a key. And the word of the apostles, in other words, the word of this book that we hold in our hands, is the word that we follow to go to heaven, the keys to the kingdom are here in this book. So what we need to find is a church that's like the church these inspired men helped to establish and helped to grow. We need to find a church like the church we read about in the Bible. That's what we should be shopping for. There is a passage in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13 where Paul tells Timothy, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." There is a pattern of sound teaching, of right things that we must hold fast. That pattern is what we're looking for. We need to be shopping for a church that's following the pattern. First of all, We need to find a church that follows God's pattern for salvation. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. We were just here last night, but let's go over to Acts 2. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, Peter finishing this sermon, teaching people how to be saved, teaching them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says in verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." You know what we need to be shopping for? We need to be shopping for a church that's going to teach what Peter taught to be saved. If someone asks us, "What do I do to be saved?" we need to say what Peter said. And if we're going to be a part of a church, that church needs to teach what Peter taught in order to be saved. Now, it baffles me, but it's absolutely true. If you were to go to most of the local churches in this town, and you were to ask the very question they ask in verse 37, "What must I do?" they will not tell you what it says in verse 38. They will not say what Peter said. They may say something like, "You need to ask Jesus into your heart." Or they'll say, "You need to pray this prayer." But they will not say, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins." They will not say it. Now, that is a deal breaker. That is an issue because that means we're not following the pattern of the Bible. In fact, I think that's a good test. If we're shopping for a church, we need to go ask, what do I need to do to become a Christian? And if they tell us something that's wrong, we know right away, well, that's not the kind of church I'm looking for. I want a church that's following God's pattern when we talk about salvation. Just for a quick overview, God's pattern for salvation involves believing in Jesus as the Christ. John 3:16 says, "God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That we need to repent of our sins, as Peter says here in Acts 2:38, that we need to confess our faith in Jesus, and that we need to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. That's God's pattern. And we need to find a church that teaches God's pattern for salvation. So the church that Jesus built teaches what Jesus taught about salvation. Mark 16:16, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned." That's what the church Jesus built. That's what the church of the New Testament will teach. And that's what a church who follows the pattern is going to teach. That's what we need to be looking for. Notice, it doesn't teach that babies should be baptized, because he says he who believes and is baptized, a baby can't believe or repent or confess. It doesn't teach that baptism is optional, because what Jesus taught was he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Not he who believes will be saved and be baptized if you want. So if people are teaching that, we need to say, well, that's not what we see in the New Testament. That's not following the pattern. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, Paul said, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." And the word "form" there means the pattern. The pattern of teaching. You obeyed the pattern. You followed what the pattern was. And God be thanked that you did. There is a pattern for what we do to be saved. And we need to find a church that's teaching that pattern and following that pattern. If we're a part of a church that teaches error on salvation, then we are supporting that error. And we are helping that error spread. If people choose not to do what Jesus said to be saved, and then they tell other people not to do what Jesus said to be saved, and we somehow support that and agree with that, we've got a problem. We need to find a different church, a church that's going to uphold God's pattern. And remember, God does care which church you go to. There are some churches we should avoid. We need to find a church that follows God's pattern for salvation. And we need to find a church that follows God's pattern for worship. We're here in Acts chapter 2. I think you're still here with me. And let's look down in verse 41. It says in Acts 2:41, "Then those who gladly received His word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." Look at what they did. First, they became Christians, by the way, by being baptized. They gladly received the word and they were baptized. But then, it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' word and doctrine. They were studying and learning from the apostles. The apostles were God's spokesman, and they wanted to hear what they had to say. Not only that, it says they were involved in fellowship, that is, sharing spiritual things together. They were breaking bread, taking the Lord's Supper together, and they were praying together. So what we need to be looking for is a church that worships God like these people did, like the New Testament church did. There were apostles here. They were teaching, this is what we should be doing. And the church at Jerusalem was obeying. We want to be like these people because they were following God. And we want to follow God too. In John 4:24, Jesus said, "God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." We need to understand, and I think I might need to correct a popular misconception here. Worship is not a matter of just doing whatever we like and hoping God will be pleased. It's not a matter of just throwing God a little fraction of our time and saying, "Well, I did something, you can't complain now." Jesus says those who worship Him must worship in spirit, that is, with our heart, with our inner man, and truth, that is, according to what He's told us to do. And if we're not concerned with what God's told us to do, we can't worship Him acceptably. We need to worship God, and we need to find a church that worships God according to the pattern. So what is God's pattern for worship? Well, first, worship involves Bible study or preaching, like we talked about with the apostles' doctrine. And so what we need to be looking for is a church that really does study the Bible. It doesn't pretend to study the Bible. It doesn't tell jokes instead of teaching the Bible. And it doesn't somehow fake its way through sermons. We're really going to study what God says because we really want to follow it. That's the kind of church we need to be looking for. A church that's not focused on entertainment, but on learning. Because only God's Word will bring life when followed. We need to find a church that's focused on the Lord's Supper. Remembering the body and blood of the Lord Jesus who bought us out of our sins. That's what New Testament churches did. Acts 20:7. "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight." First day of the week, what were these Christians doing? They came together to break bread. We need to find a church that's going to do that. That's going to come together on the first day of the week and break bread. Remember the death of Jesus. I've heard people say to me, "It's good that you do that. I really like that where you preach, you take the Lord's Supper every Sunday." Well, let me tell you, it's not just good to do that. Of course, it is good. It's something God expects. And it's not just something we might wish we could do. It's something we should be doing. It's what they did. We know they were right as they were led by the apostles. So we need to find a church like this that's following God's pattern for worship. A church that sings together. Don't think anyone who's been here knows we don't sing together. Of course we do. We've been doing that all night. Paul says, "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord," Ephesians 5:19. A church that prays together, as we read here in Acts 2:42. A church that gives to support the Lord's work. That's the kind of church we want to be a part of. When we look at a church, we need to be able to ask, why are we doing what we're doing? Where does God say He wants this? And every question like that, we should be able to find an answer for in the Word of God. Following up with that, I want to say, if there is something you have a question about that we have done or that I have said, I want you to come to me because I want to be able to say, here's why we're doing what we're doing. Here's the reason I've been preaching tonight. Here's the reason we sang. Here's the reason we pray. We know God is pleased because here's where He says He wants that. That's the kind of church we need to be looking for. A church that says we're going to follow God's pattern for worship. And we need to find a church that follows God's pattern for church work. Look here in Acts 2 and verse 47. Acts 2:47 says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." People were being saved in Jerusalem. There was a reason. It's because the church in Jerusalem was preaching the gospel. The apostles were there preaching. We learn from other places that there were other members of the church in Jerusalem who were active in teaching. Church work in the New Testament centered around spreading the gospel. So God's pattern for church work, spreading the gospel, is number one. That's the reason people were added to the body of Christ. That's the reason the Lord was adding them. We need to find a church that is focused on preaching the good news about Jesus. A church that cares about lost souls and works hard to save them. Not just something they pay lip service to, but they are serious about. In 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul wrote, "But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." The church's job is to uphold, to support the truth, to spread the gospel, to work hard to save the souls of lost people. Somehow, that's been lost. Our world has become so consumed with entertainment and family life centers, with political agendas and ministering to the whole man, that it's forgotten about Jesus. And souls are dying without Him. And people are being lost every day because churches aren't doing the work Jesus gave them. We need to find a church that is serious about preaching the gospel. Now please understand, that might mean that some of the bells and whistles we might want in church won't be there. It might mean we have to give up our pizza so that somebody else can hear the Word of God. And it might mean that the focus is on other people rather than us. That the church is not always going to work to please me. It's going to be working to save souls. But if we're focused on what Jesus is focused on, spreading the gospel to lost souls, we'll have God's priorities and we'll find a church like the one in the New Testament. In verse 44 of Acts 2:44, "Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need." God's pattern for church work also has a heart for the needy and is willing to help needy saints. We need to find a church that's willing to help, that's willing to care about its members and meet the needs of members. Not a stingy church that only wants what pleases the members, but a church that cares about each one. So if anyone is in need, all the others rush to meet that need. Now that implies that there was an attitude of sincere love here in the church at Jerusalem. There was love for one another. There was love for the lost. And I want to say for just a moment that love is a vital point of a local church that belongs to Christ. And love is evidenced or notably lacking in what a church does and does not do, and the vigor with which a church does or does not do it. But again, I have to say, even though love is vitally important, we can have a lot of love and still be wrong. So love is not the only criterion we should be looking for when we're looking for a church. The rest of God's pattern for church work is edifying the saved, studying together, working together, and building one another up, as we've seen from several passages already. Well, we could say a lot more about all of this. In fact, there are whole sermons I could preach about almost each one of these points. But the point is this, and the essential difference in the wrong reasons and the right reasons is this. Are we looking for a church that pleases me? Or are we looking for a church that pleases God? Amen. Entertainment is for me. Popularity, that's about me. How many guys or how many girls, that's about me. There are a host of other factors we could put there. Whether the preacher is funny, whether the building is nice, whether there are lots of helpful programs, whether it speaks to me, they're all about me. But are we interested in pleasing ourselves or in pleasing God? In fact, maybe that's the problem with this whole concept of church shopping. What do we do when we shop? Well, we're looking for what pleases us, aren't we? If we don't like it, we'll put it back on the rack. We're going to be seeking something. If it doesn't look good on me, I'm going to put it back. We're looking for what we want, what suits my needs. When in reality, what we should be looking for in a church is what pleases God and what's going to help me get to heaven. Young people, a lot of people are convinced that you will not come to church unless you are entertained. They cater to you. They shift around what they do and why. They market to you. They want you to come. And so they want to entertain you. I am convinced that young people will come to the Lord and that they can and will come to a church where they can grow in their relationship with the Lord. I pray that your decisions, that all of our decisions, will not be made based on trivial, shallow concerns like entertainment, but based on God's will and whether a church is really what God wants it to be. So I urge you, keep shopping. But don't shop for the church that's right for you, and don't look for the church of your choice. Find the church that's right with God, the church of Jesus' choice. I want to give you an illustration that I think has helped me to cement the problem in my mind and might help you. I borrowed this, and I freely admit that. Borrowed with permission. What if I were to tell you that I was looking for a new doctor? And I want a doctor who has a big screen TV in the waiting room. I don't like to wait, and I don't want to be bored while I wait. I want a big screen TV. Those magazines are usually pretty boring. There's nobody there I want to talk to. I want a big screen TV. And then when I go into the exam room, I want there to be some video games there. They always make you wait so long. I want to be able to play. And there better be good games, too, games that I like. I want them to be exciting for me. And when the doctor comes in, I want him to be funny. Better be a funny doctor, and he should never tell me anything I don't want to hear. Nothing about a bad prognosis, no medicine, no shots, nothing like that. I want to leave the doctor feeling good about myself. What would you say? I hope you would say, Jacob, those aren't good reasons to choose a doctor. It's not about being entertained. You're going to the doctor. It's about taking care of your body. So why would we think that these shallow concerns, like whether we're entertained or whether a lot of people are there, would pertain to our soul? What makes us think that being happy and leaving church happy is the most important thing? Can't we see that there's something more important than just being entertained? When we come together, we need someone who's going to help us see what God says, who's going to tell us when we're wrong. And sometimes we might leave church a little sad or a little upset because we're not right with God. But we need to find a church that's going to help us get to heaven. And if we're not entertained along the way, so be it. So when you're church shopping, seek a church that's following God's will and will help you get to heaven. I want you to know, my goal in this lesson is not to tell you to come to this local church. My goal is to get you to take your Bible out and to look at what does God want from a church and what should I be wanting? And to go and look at whatever church you might be looking at and say, is this following the pattern of God? I would encourage the members of this local church to do the very same thing, because if we're right, maybe there's somewhere else you need to go. If we're not right, excuse me, maybe there's somewhere else you need to go. But I want you to look and to search and to find Christ's church. And I want to tell you, There is a church that I believe is doing the best it can to follow God's path. We're focused on these things. We're not perfect, but we are devoted to following the Word of God. Amen. It is what we want most. It is what we want to know, and so we study it together, and it's what we want to obey, and so we try to encourage one another in that. If you want to be a part of this church, we would love to sit down and talk to you about anything we do and to study further with you on these things. God expects you to be a part of this church. Young people, you are integrally involved in that process. So I ask that God may bless you as you search for a church that is right with Him, that will help you to go to heaven. There might be someone here tonight who is subject to the Lord's invitation. In this church, we are going to try to show you exactly what God says you need to do to be saved. As Peter said, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you need to do exactly what Peter said tonight. Because you believe in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, you turn away from your sins and pledge to follow Him. You confess that faith before us tonight, and you can be buried in baptism and leave this building tonight a New Testament Christian, just like those we've read about tonight. Are you subject to the Lord's invitation? Are you ready to come? Please come now as we stand and sing to encourage you.